Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter, here with the legend Don Fry. We got Bill Dawes coming in. And we got some special guests as well. It's going to be a good show. Okay. We got, it's going to be a real, real fun show. I'm excited. You should be excited. We also have Brady Heistad, who's, also a really good fighter coming in. He's got a fight in a couple weeks in the UFC. He was losing his fight. He was kind of getting his ass kicked, came back and won, which, you know, that's the thing, man. When somebody could come back, that's my favorite, because a lot of people could be like the hammer, where you start off, you just kick the shit out of somebody. When someone's getting their ass kicked and then they come back, that's, to me, that proves someone's a real fighter. Don, yeah, what fight did you have that you were getting your ass kicked and you came back?
I don't think I had any.
Not one fight you were ever losing?
He started kicking my ass, he just kept doing it. partner. I don't know. Kind of walked in the bathroom that one, didn't we?
By the way, so I just got back from Florida. I did a show, and Naples has some of the funniest people. So I'm doing a show Sunday night in Naples. Normally Sunday is like the, I noticed since like the Gutfeld, I started doing Gutfeld, my early shows are now way more packed. Like my 6 o'clock shows and my 7:30 shows are packed.
Have your crowds really increased since Gutfeld quite a bit?
Yes. Increased like 85% of all older conservatives. Whoa. But
yeah, you said like 5 or 6 people crammed in that auditorium.
It's true. There was a guy in the front, right? And I could tell he just like I did a show how I was in India. And, you know, they love Joy Behar in India because cows were sacred, right? And this guy was just like, fuck the view and blah, blah, blah. So this guy was a real conservative, right? So he like gets up to go to the bathroom and he got a cane on him. And there's a guy next to him that's blind, right? There's a blind guy and then a blind. No, I got me wrong. There's a guy who's deaf. A guy can't hear anything. And then a guy with a cane, right? Older guy with a cane who can't see. He's needed a cane. So he gets up to go to the bathroom and I'm like, oh, what? Did you see the light? Now you're walking towards it? Dude, the guy's cane turns into a sword. He literally goes, oh, yeah? And he built a cane where now it's a... I'm like, what are you, Zorro? Like, literally, he's waving a freaking sword around. It was like one of those, like, thin swords. It wasn't like a pirate.
So it was like James Bond. He pulled out the cane and had the sword in it.
It's exactly what happened. He made it himself. He also had a gun on him, which I didn't see the gun part. But this was, I was like, Don, you would have loved him. You would have absolutely loved him. He was,
He was. So wait, did you get panicked? Did you panic and get scared because he said he had a gun on him?
No, I didn't know he had a gun on him until after the show. Like when you tried to show me your arsenal when I was at your house and you had, you know, 75.
Did you see the gun? Did you?
No.
Did you see his gun, or did he just tell you?
No,
okay, then he could have just been pulling your leg just to see your liberal reaction.
I'm not. First of all, I am not a liberal. I'm no longer. I'm liberal compared to you. Compared to you, everyone's liberal. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
One. But he did. I was like, who has a sword on them? And then I was just making fun of him left and right. Like I was like, was it Love at First Duel? And you know, I was just making all these jokes. And then the kid's son was like, hey man, sorry that my dad had a sword on him. I'm like, it was fine. It kind of made the show. But that was crazy. By the way, Don, have you been following this Tank Abbott stuff?
No. What's up?
It's about you. So Tank
really?
Abbott. Yes. So Tank Abbott went on Rampage.
Oh, really?
He went on Rampage's podcast. and they bring you up. And Tank Abbott first says he punched you so hard during their fight that you stumbled on his foot. And then he fell down because you stumbled on his foot. That didn't happen, right? Then he says he went for a rolling heel hook, but everyone else he fought had wrestling shoes on, where like you had your feet out, so that's why you couldn't get the heel hook. But he says that you weren't tired because you were supposed to fight your friend beforehand, that you guys had the same manager, and that your friend took it easy. Your friend basically lay down for you. Is any of this true?
Right. That's a bunch of bullshit. Abbott's been regurgitating that bullshit for 30 years now. Guy fucking lost the fucking fight. Just fucking face it, man. You got beat. You know?
But what's weird is, like, didn't he lose a lot of fights? Why is he harping on that fight? It wasn't like he was, like, 20 and 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. He lost more fights than he won. Yeah.
No, so I was just basically, I like knew that wasn't true because I obviously knew. I just wanted to hear your
wrestling this dude.
So this was do you want to see the actual podcast or no?
I want to see a little bit. I mean, I used to like Tank Abbott. I thought he was kind of funny.
Who doesn't like Tank Abbott? But he's obviously still a little bit bitter towards Don.
That's so weird.
Don won. I mean, Don won the fight. Here we go. So,
and reach down and grab his toe. Why they wanted to kill the only person that you guys out there have to understand that this is the infant stages of things. People didn't know about this kind of stuff. I had an idea, like, what if someone gets on my back? What am I going to do? And, Paul's like, like a leg rod, just peel him like an orange and it hit a somersault really hard and they'll, rip right off of you. But I opted to turn to my ass and reach down and grab his toes and dig my elbow into his thing and I could put some good pressure on his ankle. Well, if you watch that fight and the tape, you can see we had no shoes on. And everybody that I did it with had wrestling shoes on and his feet were slimy, slick. And the toes just go pop, 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 pop. And I go, oh, no, here we go. And so he got the near whatever, it's a rear naked choke. And so what? No big deal.
Yeah.
And anyways, he fought his friend before he fought me. Now, this is tournaments. This is completely different back in those days. You fought and you trained to fight in a tournament, not against somebody else. They were figuring out, hey, man, we got to get this into something where it's not just a tournament guy. We have to build somebody up. And so they started the super fights with my first show. But when you do that, you have the same promoter, agent, guys that try to make money off of fighters that are making money. And they have a bunch of fighters underneath their wing. And guess what? Don Fry gets to fight his friend.
Who was his friend?
The Mark Hall guy.
Mark Hall.
He was the guy that fought him beforehand. He goes out and does the job for him. It might as well just be professional wrestling.
He had one fight before their fight.
With his friend. His friend laid down for him.
Yeah. So he's
better than that, but I
but this, this is what he's saying right now.
That's what I'm saying. He laid down. He didn't have a fight before me.
So he was fresh.
Yeah.
Don, rebuttal?
Boo.
Don?
Yeah. Well, Mark Hall's not my friend for one. Mark Hall's not my friend for one. For two, they were stacking that deck for Fat Ass there to win. You know, they had him training with some pro boxing trainer, Jesse Reed. And they had him fight his second fight was against Glass Joe, you know, Glass Jaw Joe, you know, and Tate didn't have a fight. He had less of a fight than I had. You know, he went out there, hit the guy with one fucking punch, and the guy was out. And then, but the first fight, you know, he fought Cal Worsham. God bless, you know, late Cal. Cal had fought earlier that year in May and punctured a lung, you know, broken rib, punctured lung. So there's no way Cal was in shape, you know, for that fucking tournament.
Right.
Tournament, you know. So they give him to Tank, and then they give this other clown to Tank, and you know, try to get him a free walkthrough, and that's all there is to it. And then shit, he said something else that was entirely stupid. Oh, trying to build up for single fights. I was done. After that, I quit. So how they tried to build me up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, look, you guys fought, you won, he landed a good punch, he couldn't finish you, you came back, you took him down, you put him in a rear naked choke, and he didn't even know what a rear naked choke was still now, and that's after having, you know, 60 fights.
All right.
So, you know.
30 years, yeah. Well, obviously, yes, he didn't hit me with a good punch. It was timing. It was all fucking timing. I went out there, went heel, and my feet were within my shoulders. I did everything you're not supposed to do. You know, you on the balls of your feet, not your heels. Your legs should be spread out, you know, beyond your shoulders. You know, I just stumbled into a position, and right when I put my foot down, he hit me, so knocked me on my ass. I got knocked on my ass. He tripped or stumbled, or I tripped on him, whatever, and he couldn't get up. You know, I got knocked on my ass. I got up. He fell down. He couldn't get up. So, you know, who's worse?
All right, let's watch the fight. Okay, we have to. All right,
oh yeah, let's have the breakdown.
Let's see. Let's watch the fight, because this there's all this talk going on, and we have to get to the bottom of this.
By the way, in what world?
I'm on Team Dom Fry forever. For life.
Of course.
But
Tank Abbott looks bad talking the way he's talking about it.
Tank, of course. But that's Tank, man. I mean, look, Tank's never been a good sport on anything, but Tank Abbott is a badass fighter, and all respect to Tank Abbott. He's a legend of the sport. He should be in the Hall of Fame if he's not. But Don Fry's at a different level. He's always been at a different level. You know, Don Fry also took a lot more serious than Tank Abbott. Tank Abbott got kicked out of like every organization for bar fighting and brawling and crazy shit.
No tank of dynamite in that right hand.
So here we go.
Oh, shit.
First of all, how much bigger is he than you, Don?
Fuck, about 50 pounds.
He looks.
You know, I don't see any bitch about that.
I mean, you look like you could be a 205er. I mean,
he was at least 200.
He bids 500 or 6. Yeah, he bids 500 or 600 pounds, you know, and, you know, you just don't get off a bar stool and bench 600 fucking pounds. You know, he was fully trained for this. Like I said, they had Jesse Reed training, you know, for hands. You know, he's in the best shape ever. And, you know, because they were building him, you know. And here I go. I just lumber in with both feet together.
So he does land that jab.
Right here, right.
Yeah. He lands that jab.
Yeah.
Okay, but so you're more balanced.
Too close together.
All right.
Yeah, because I was going heel, and I had my feet within my shoulder blades. You know, so shit. Yeah, you'll get knocked there. Anybody could knock me on my ass. You know, could have pushed me over the broom handle.
Would that count as a knockdown, or is that like a trip?
Oh, that was a knockdown. Yeah, that would count as a knockdown since he hit me and I went down. You know, it's my fault for being so stupid with placing my feet the way I did.
But Don, so you are you wobbled at all here, or are you hurt at all?
No, I'm not hurt at all. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because, you know, I went heel to heel, you know, and had my feet so close together.
But you're landing also, but you're landing a lot here. So do you realize that you're actually landing on them pretty good?
Yeah, yeah. We're both exchanging really good. And you know what's really fucked up about this is this was not in one of the top 10 one round fights.
Oh, really? Definitely should have been. Yeah, he trips, but he's also off balance. You push him too.
Can you take that back a little bit? Can you bring that back a little bit?
Right.
Let me switch again.
I stumble into him, buddy. You know.
Yeah.
Nice.
And here he is bitching about my feet, you know. Trying to grab his foot, but they were slippery. Oh, man.
Right. I mean, first of all, he's not defending the choke at all. His hands are down there. His hands are there. But also, he has no neck. It's got to be hard for you to put a rear naked choke on a guy that has no neck.
Right. No, actually, it's easier because it's harder with people who's got a scrawny neck. Because you can't really close your arm against somebody with a scrawny neck. They got a big fat neck. Well, then the muscle and the nerves and the veins are right there. The arteries are right there.
That's grabbing.
If you got a scrawny neck, it just rattles around inside your arm.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Oh, there it is. Nice. Where was that? Where did he get that blood from? From that jab?
God, you're such a bad bro. I mean,
no, during the exchange. During the exchange or else the headbutt, I'm not sure. But on a jab, that jab was just fucking, I was off balance, man. I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
Adam, I'll tell you what. Go get your little daughter, stand with your feet together, and just lean back on your heels and have her push you. And she'll push you over.
Yeah. And so, Don, even if you didn't fall down from the jab, which you didn't, who cares? You came back and won the fight.
Yeah.
And you came back and won a war.
Right.
And you submitted him. And the fact that he was trying to fight backwards and tripped on himself, what are you supposed to do? Let him up? I mean, give me a break. I mean, he fell backwards because the exchanges were crazy. You guys are both throwing. And you were landing and he was landing.
You're right. Right. Oh, and I didn't have shoes on. Don't forget. I didn't have shoes on. So. Yeah.
Tremendous boxing exhibition by Tank, but when it came to the mat, it was Pride's game. Almost surprised that Pride didn't try to bring it back. To going to the ground.
And now Tank's still fighting people.
Leon.
Pride reigns supreme.
Huh?
What is he saying?
Tremendously. I mean, I'm not sure.
I don't know. He's just mouthing off. You know?
Yeah.
Dude, those were the days, man. I'm sorry, but those were the glory days of MMA. Like that was just a badass fight, and it was just who's tougher, and who's more skilled. I mean, you don't even think he should have known how to defend a rear naked choke if he's at the fighting the number one guy in the world or number two. I mean, Don.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, you would think you'd be able to. You know, study certain moves. You know, I mean, that's like one of the first moves. I think in karate, they teach you that fucking front push kick or whatever, you know, that Peter Belfort knocks so many people out with, you know? And then, you know, I mean, and this jiu-jitsu, the, you know, rear naked choke, you know, fuck.
Yeah. And so he's complaining that you didn't have shoes. He couldn't peel your shoes off because you didn't have shoes. Like, first of all, I've never learned how to defend rear naked choke against shoes or no shoes. It doesn't make a difference. That's not how you defend the choke.
Yeah. I mean, he was also pretty.
No. It's dude. What he's talking about is you grab hold of the foot, grab hold of the foot, you know, with your hand, obviously, and place your elbow in the middle of their shin bone.
Yeah.
And then you pull up. You pull up, you know, the foot with your elbow going into their shin. You know?
Sure. But that shouldn't be the most.
That's nasty. It's a nasty.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Listen, you know, that was a great fight. You know, Tank Abbott should have said, listen, you know, I landed some good shots. Don landed some good shots. It was Don's night that night. Case closed.
Yeah.
Don's a legend. I'm a legend. You know?
Yeah, right.
And that's, you know, it's pretty much.
Was that the only time you guys fought?
Yeah.
But I mean, Don, there's not one person I've ever heard you say you lost to where you had an excuse that you lost, other than the fact that you said, oh, I didn't train what I should have. I was too fucked up. I took too many pills. I wasn't training right. You've never once blamed the other person, ever.
Yeah. You can't blame me. Yeah, when the other guy whoops your ass, what are you going to say? You know?
I mean, even with comedy, which is, you know, look, if I have a bad set, that's on me. I know when I'm having a bad set,
right.
I can blame the audience. I can blame, oh, the feature was too dirty, or the host fucked up, the venue sucked, I'm not feeling well. There's 100 excuses that I can make for why I had a bad set. This crowd sucks. Yeah. But at the end of the day,
right,
it's on me. It was my job was to be funny. My job was to make them laugh. And I either accomplished that or didn't accomplish that. And you can keep telling yourself,
absolutely.
There's always reasons why shit didn't go well. Always. But at the end of the day, it's on you. It's on you. And it sucks to be on you. That's terrible. And you know what? There's a group of friends that you're going to have. And your friends are going to tell you, oh, it's because of this, because of that. But those are your friends that want to make you feel better. Your friends that are actually want to tell you the truth. It sucks. It hurts. But it's, you know. So.
Yeah. It's much, much easier to blame the rest of the world for your failure, you know?
Of course.
That's a liberal ideology.
You're absolutely right, Don. You're 100% right about that.
You know?
I mean, adversity should be an opportunity, right? Isn't that the idea? So if he trips, he falls down, then he's on his back. We'll work on something else.
Yeah, and learn work on your balance. I mean, you don't want to trip. He also tripped because Don was putting so much forward pressure, and he's not used to fighting going backwards. I'm sure when he hits people, they usually go down. They almost always go down. And Don went down, but he got right back up. So I mean, you know, I was with Cole Miller came to my show on the weekend. I haven't seen Cole forever. Cole was so funny. He was telling me Hector Lombard stories. So Hector Lombard had gotten like kicked out of every gym because he doesn't understand light sparring. Like this does not understand lights. No, it's either a war or nothing. So he was telling me a story how he was the gym bully and no one wanted to train with him because he was injuring everybody or blah, blah, blah. He said, finally, Melvin Manhoof came into the gym, right? And everybody was excited. Melvin's like a Dutch kickboxer, right? And all the Brazilians were happy because finally Hector's going to get his ass kicked. Like they're all super happy. So Melvin comes in, they spar. Cole says it goes exactly like you think it was. Melvin beats up Henry. I mean, beats up Hector the first day, like drops him. Next, everyone's cheering. The whole gym is happy. He goes, the next day, Hector comes back and beats the shit out of Melvin Manhoof. And he said the entire gym was depressed that day for like a week because of Hector. Then he was telling me that there was a guy that beat up Hector one time in sparring, and Hector came back with a crossbow the next day and actually was trying to kill him with a crossbow, like was chasing him around the gym, which I have to ask Hector about.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds. Where do you even get a? I mean, do you have a crossbow, Don?
No, I don't have that. That's one thing I don't have in my arsenal.
Yeah. And then Mayhem Miller is coming back on the podcast next week. Me and you know Mayhem called me up. And,
all right.
Mayhem was pretty concerned over some nonsense that happened, and I was trying to cheer him up. And he was, Mayhem was telling me, you know, I don't have any fun anymore because he's like, you know, he's sober. He's helping out at a gym. He's running things. And I'm like, and I was trying to tell him, Mayhem, the problem is that your version of fun is just different than everyone else's. Like I remember him telling me when he was.
It's everybody else's version of crazy.
Yeah. Like, dude, we were dying laughing. I remember him telling me when he was training for like a CB Dalloway fight, that big fight. CB was like running up sprints or hills, the whole thing. Mayhem was like in New York with some bondage lady who was putting ball gags in him and like whipping him.
That might be pretty good training if you think about it.
Have you ever did that, Bill?
What, ball gags and whips?
Yeah.
No, I'm a little vanilla. But I bet you Don's got some stories.
Don, you?
No. No, I don't put anything in my mouth. No, no. Unless there's a nipple on it. Nipple Wait. Or a clit. No.
What about a little bit of choking, though? I mean, we all must choke a little during sex, right?
Oh, yeah. I like to choke. Yeah, yeah. Chokes always fun. Yeah. You just got to know when to release it, though, you know, unfortunately.
Todd, you ever recreate the Tank Abbott where she goes for your feet? But you're wearing.
Yeah. Hey, wait, let me take my shoes off.
Dude, Mayhem was telling me one time that, this guy asked him to do a, he was drunk in a bar and he was talking about some guy who said he had a podcast studio. So Mayhem just shows up at the guy's house the next morning to do a podcast. So the guy was like drunk and he was with my other friend. So he just goes in the guy's house and starts recording a podcast. Right. The guy comes downstairs with a gun. And he's like, get the fuck out of my house. Like, what do you, can't just, he's like, you said we could do a podcast here. And he's like, he's like, I was wasted. Like, so then Mayhem like was like, no, we have to do a show. Right. So then, and then he gets invited back to the guy's podcast. And during the show, the guy starts stabbing him.
What?
The same guy, yeah, dude. Like these are the stories Mayhem's telling me. So it's just one after another of, I'm like, maybe it's good that you, because like your fun isn't, it's not that everyone else's fun. People aren't getting stabbed during, and they kept the show going while he was getting stabbed. So,
oh my God.
I don't think the podcast was ever recorded.
Of course.
Yeah, it was ever released. Can you find that podcast?
Why would you stop it during the middle of stabbing? You know, that's the height. that's the orgasm of the show.
Yeah. Do you want to go viral or not?
Dude, it's just one after another. I mean, he
got big sacrifices, man.
Dude, he kills me. He happens to be so funny, but yeah, I'm happy he's sober now and he's not, because it just was.
But that sounds dangerous, Adam. That sounds like I'm bored. That sounds like he's waiting. You know what I mean? Aren't you worried that he's going to relapse with talking like that?
No, because I was bringing up the stories to try to make him laugh, because he was very nervous about today. Nothing happened. Everything was fine. But I think he had to see his parole officer or something. And he was nervous about it. So I was trying to, you know, make him feel better. And we were just laughing, you know, and laughing and laughing. But he is bored. But yeah, like I was trying to tell him, dude, you know, he also said one of the problems is, I think a lot of people have this problem, is that he didn't think he'd be alive by now.
Yeah.
You know, like when you don't think you're going to live till 40 and you try to get everything out of the way that you ever wanted to do, and then you end up living, you're like, fuck, you know, that could be, it's like spending all your money and then realizing you're broke because you thought that you were going to die and now you have no money left. And then that's there were a lot of things that he did that he shouldn't have done. It wasn't because of that. But, you know, did I ever tell you that Mike Tyson story with the monks? I have a really good Mike Tyson story also for what happened a couple weeks ago. I just need permission to tell it from the person it happened to that I was with. But but Mike Tyson, his manager was telling me before the Roy Jones fight, I guess he was taking all this stuff because, you know, you just look at him, right? You could tell he was taking stuff. You know, I don't think there was a drug.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So then like a week before, I guess there was a Black Lives Matter belt that was on the line, which meant that he was going to get tested for things. I didn't even know there was a black. It all, that's the most All right, so then he decides he has to go cold turkey. So he goes off everything, and he's going nuts. So he decided to do ayahuasca with a bunch of shamans, like 20 shaman monks. And all of a sudden, the manager gets a phone call saying, Mike's having a really bad trip. You need to get over here now. So he drives up to Malibu to where Mike was staying at, and there was like 25 monks running for their lives. And then they look over, and they see Mike Tyson with his shirt off, like in slow motion, walking towards them. Like, just people, like, they were running down the hill. So he's driving. Monks are all running towards the car. He keeps driving, and then he sees Mike Tyson, like in like the mist, you know? luckily, he had Tyson's wife with him, who then would like calm them down. She was like the Mike Tyson whisperer. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Wow. It's like a South Park episode. Can you imagine driving and seeing like 25 monks running for their lives?
And, oh, yeah. Well, so here's a quick story to add to that. So you know, my baby mama is like producing films and stuff, and she was going to have Mike Tyson on this private plane to go to Piven's premiere, right? Yeah. And it was all set. And then all of a sudden, his wife called her and was like, Mike cannot be in a private plane right now. He'll kill somebody. She literally told that. She goes, he'll kill somebody if he's in a private plane right now. He can't go. And she was like, why? He's like, he's just in a mood. He'll kill someone. You'll be in danger if he's on the plane. That's literally what she told her.
Wow. Yeah. And this is recent, right?
This was a month ago.
Yeah. No, that's once I get permission to tell the story, I have a crazy story about Mike Tyson. All right, here we go. Did you guys watch the fights last week?
Some of them.
No.
All right. It was UFC 301, right? It was a big, I'll tell you what happened. So Pantoja fought this guy, Ursegg. This guy looked like Steve Carell from The Office. And he looked just like, I mean, people were calling him Steve from Blue's Clues. It was like one. And the guy was from England, and he was the number 10 ranked guy. Pantoja's the champ. So everyone's like, oh, 6-1 favorite, 7-1.
Of course.
Don, this guy was, it was 2-2 going to the fifth. This guy was winning on the feet, landing the better punches, right? He was winning the fight. Then it was about the fifth round. He was kind of losing the fifth round, but it was close. And he goes for a takedown. And the guy does what Tank Abbott tried to do for you. The guy rolls through, did some kind of weird jiu-jitsu, kind of Granby sweep, ended up on top, and won the fight. And then keeps the title. And it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good fight. I mean, that's the one fight I saw, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he blew it. You kind of felt for him because he was – and he even said, He's like, I'm going to be kicking myself. He's like, I had it. This was my fight to lose. I mean, smart guy. It was – I don't know if they were overlooking him or it was only a fourth UFC fight, so maybe they weren't – they didn't do their proper, you know, training on him and didn't know about him. But, the guy's stock went up. Jose Aldo.
Of course.
Jose Aldo looked amazing. He won his fight.
That's amazing to me that Jose Aldo's back. I think he retired like three times.
He also looks so ripped and strong. And I'm pretty sure, I hate to say it, but he looks like he might be juicing. But because it's Aldo, no one cares. Everyone's like, fuck it, let him do it. And, you know,
of course.
Anthony Smith won, which is kind of cool because they brought in Smith to lose and he won. I love when that happens. And then there's a guy, Michelle Paheia, who the guy started off in the Brazilian circus, right? So he was
like capoeira, right?
Yeah. He does all these flips, like back flips, front flips. He break dances. He's one of these guys that was gassing himself out in the third, Don, because he had to stop doing that. He would do like six flips on the way to the octagon. So now he's fighting so much better. So here's what happened.
But truly, yeah.
So here's what happened. He did a backwards flip into the guy's guard, right? He knocks the guy down, does a backwards flip into his guard, and ends up kind of knocking the guy out with his knee. Like his knee.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's got to be illegal, right? Isn't that a DQ? Because it's a knee to the head of a downed opponent.
Can you show that clip? It was such a cool move that no one cared. And I think because it wasn't intentional. That they didn't intentionally do that. And he was also kind of winning before that. Yeah, they didn't call a DQ on it. They could have, though. I feel like maybe if it wasn't in Brazil and the guy wasn't Brazilian,
Should show. Do you have a clip of it? You could show Don, see what he thinks. Because to me, I looked at him like, okay, he does a backflip. On the way down, his knee hits him on the head, and the guy's on the back.
Yo, what's up, people? I got to talk to you about Game Time. Okay, GameTime.co. All right. I'm telling you, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. It's been the best season of basketball I can recall in a long time. Super pumped about it. And Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier, which is great. I mean, who would want to go to a playoff game? Now, prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets tip off. I mean, normally you would think it would go up. Nope, going down. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Trust me, you don't want to go there and all of a sudden you're behind. You can't see anything. That would suck. All right. Check out the Game Time app. I know there's a great bunch of NBA games coming up right now. Tonight, it's the Knicks. The Knicks are playing the Sixers. And the Knicks got this, okay? And I would love to go to that game, okay? That would be amazing. I'm from New York, so obviously I got to go for the Knicks and the Lakers and pretty much whoever else is winning, all right? And I'm telling you, they got last-minute deals. They got flash deals, zone deals, easy to find. You could buy MLB tickets and for every kind of event in your area. They got views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. If you get fired, you can't make it, something happens. All right. Now, you could save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. All right. I know you guys love the theater, especially this audience, Broadway. You guys love Shakespeare. I'm sure we got some very Shakespeare people. All right. Now, and they also have in-app deals. They got zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. You got all-in pricing. This feature shows the total up front. No surprise. That's the worst when you go to other things and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a great deal. And you get there and it costs you an arm and a leg. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Now download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's great. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. All right. Check it out. I'm telling you, this is it. This is what you want to do. Do it now. All right. And I'll also enjoy the rest of this podcast.
Like, that is a classic.
Let me see if I can find it.
Knee to a downed opponent.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. I mean, there was definitely a, hold on. So, all right. First, before we get to that, I have this right up. Don, you got to see the sword thing. I know we're jumping back. All right, so here's the guy, Don. All right, here we go.
Accept the charges. And our first honor right now.
You can see, right? Watch this.
I'm not fucking wondering if you were down in the fucking cane during my show.
Look what happened, Don.
What, you saw the lights when I'm walking towards it? Oh, fucking sword? Thank you.
Oh my God. Were you scared at all, Adam, when you saw the sword?
No.
Why is Zorro here? Aaron brought a fucking sword.
So, yeah, I go off about 5 minutes on the sword. But,
That's funny.
No, I wasn't scared. I was a little bit like, because he was having a good time. The one thing, if he was like, I could tell he didn't like me, and then he had a sword, you know, and then I'm like, oh shit, you're like, PER.
Yeah, it's always good when the guy with the sword likes you.
It's a bad set.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
but he was having a good time, so that's the thing.
Yeah. All right, you don't want the guy with the sword not to like you. That's a problem.
All right, so here we go. Boom. Share. Yeah, so here's his here we go. So he has him. So here, so boom. Don, what do you think?
I didn't see it.
Bam.
It went from standing down the ground.
All right, here, can you see now?
Yeah, he's standing. And then they're on the ground.
Yeah, and then he taps.
Okay, okay. That's unintentional. Hell, I mean, that's completely unintentional.
Yeah.
So that would be up to the judges, you know?
Yeah, he was winning every minute. It
would be completely up to the judges.
Man, I mean, that was pretty cool. Don, have you ever tried a backflip to a...
all the time, yeah. That was the first thing I learned, you know, after watching a Bruce Lee movie, you know.
It really is like a Bruce Lee movie. So I gotta tell you, all right, so since so a couple other things. So Conor McGregor and Sean O'Malley are feuding. So basically Ryan Garcia got popped for steroids. Conor said he should be banned for life for taking Osterone or something, whatever it's called.
That's rich.
But then he says, just like that guy O'Malley, and he also said, he mentioned O'Malley too. And then O'Malley came back and says, that's crazy what Conor did. Fuck Conor. I've seen a lot of people like, yeah, I bet Sugar's sad. He goes, fucking booger sugared up, talking shit. I'll fly you out to spar. Yeah, right. I was more sad than mad. I mean, I'm not sure Conor should be talking about steroids at anybody, because look at him. There's no way.
Of course.
I don't think he got the way he did naturally. And I'm pretty sure they got rid of USADA because of him.
I thought it was because of John Jones.
I think it might have been both, to be honest. They're like, fuck this. Or they just got rid of him. Those would say they got rid of him. But so, yeah. And also, I guess it got
you said, no, wait a second. They got rid of USADA? UFC did?
Yeah.
UFC did?
Uh-huh.
Good. It's about damn time. Good.
So, now, does that essentially make steroids illegal?
No, they have a different testing protocol, but I don't think it's as strict. And I also don't think they don't know what they're doing, because that's the one that came to John Jones's house at 5 a.m. and then said that, and then, you know, started that whole thing. So yeah, supposedly it's not as strict. And I honestly have no idea. I just know that McGregor should not be, you know, pointing the finger at anyone's bad behavior. I think at anything. I mean, after all the shit. So yeah. Now this week, there's actually some good fights. I'm actually more excited about this card than I was about 301. If I'm being totally honest, because this card actually, the main event is probably the only one where you're like, why is this the main event? But so it's Derek Lewis versus Nascimento, and Derek Lewis is 27-12-0. He's the most frustrating fighter because he'll go on like a 4-fight losing streak, but then he'll win his next fight by doing like a flying knee or some type of strange, cartwheel knockout. Or he'll just knock the guy out cold with an uppercut. And then everyone gets so excited. And then he starts humping the octagon and makes a speech about fucking his wife or raw-dogging Ronda Rousey. And everyone loves him again. But then he goes on like a 4-5 losing streak again. Man, so he's fighting this guy, Nascimento, as the main event. Nascimento, he beat Don't Tell Mays by unanimous. He beat Latifi with a split decision. Tanner Bowser with a split decision. So I don't know. I mean, this is like almost one of those fights where you think that Lewis might win because. But anyway, so that's...
Wait, he just has that knockout power, but if he doesn't knock someone out, he's not going to win by decision, is he?
No.
Does he ever? No.
The only fight he ever won a decision that was against Ngannou, which was like the most boring fight ever. Which, by the way, Ngannou lost a baby recently. His son died. So,
oh man, that's
really,
awful.
Really sorry about that. Prayers.
Oh no, what happened?
I don't know. It was like 18 months.
What happened?
I don't know. He just said he wrote a post of like, it was the post was essentially like, what's the point of life? This is not.
Oh, right. God.
It was just the saddest.
Oh, 18 months. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. And then he was at the funeral. God bless you. Him and Usman at the funeral. It's also like, why are we taking pictures of people at funerals? You know, it's.
Yeah.
Leave the guy alone.
Right. Right.
And then there's this big, this website, this guy that has this on Twitter. I forgot the guy's name. I think his name is like Usman's hairline. He made a joke about it. And I was just.
Oh, no.
And everyone kind of in the MMA Twitter community was just like, fuck this guy, which is pretty cool because, you know, just fuck this guy. He did the same thing about Henry Cejudo and Cejudo's sister died of cancer. He wrote like, she's pretty hot. I hit the guy up and I was like, dude, that's his sister. What are you doing? And he was like, she's hot. I don't know. I mean, some people just need to get the shit beaten out of them. Like the shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world would be a better place if people just were allowed to beat the shit out of certain people. Like people that are 15 minutes late for podcasts.
Right.
So what's going on?
I know. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, speaking of
which. How's it going, guys? Sorry, I'm up here in Vancouver. I'm helping my buddy cut some weight, and so my phone died, but I'm here now.
You're here with the legend Don Fry.
Hey, what's up, brother? How's it going? It's a pleasure to meet you. Legend.
Good, how you doing?
Yeah.
Good.
So Don, this is Brady Heistand. He goes by Bam Bam. He came to my show. I didn't believe he was actually in the UFC because he looks like he was 19 years old. He was the second youngest guy in the UFC.
Wow.
Badass fighter. His last fight, he was getting his ass kicked. Everybody was cashing the checks. This guy lost, comes back, and just beats the shit out of this guy with 30 seconds left. Probably the comeback of the year, I think. So now he's 8-2. Hasn't fought in a year, but talk to me. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah. That don't remind me of that last fight. That was a little rough. The first two rounds, I got split open for the first time. I got dropped, all that good stuff. But
you came back and won, though. You came back and won.
TKO finish, exactly. Now I'm getting ready to fight June 15th. I'm excited. I'm ready to go out there and make it not so scary time. At least it was interesting. But we're gonna go out to have a good fight this time.
No, it was interesting last time. You landed like 6,000 punches. Was it a case of did you know you broke them?
For sure. Well, and I've like weaponized cardio. I feel like that's like one of my biggest tools. And this guy's like first round finisher. The guy I fought was this scary Mongolian dude with 3 first round knockouts in the UFC. And so I knew this guy was dangerous, but I knew once he got in the later rounds, I'd tire out. And then we had a hectic second round. It was all over the place. And so then when I stood up, I looked across the cage and he was like, you know, lazed eyes. I knew he was done. And so that's when I went for the finish.
Now, how do you weaponize cardio?
I guess you just use it. You know, it's just like Marab. He fucking goes out there and just tires everyone out.
You're better than anybody. Like Dan Gable did, man.
I mean, but like, are you running? Are you running 10 miles a day, or is it kind of you jump rope for hours? Because I personally used to do jiu-jitsu, and I would do 1 5-minute go, and then I'm like, because I'm so used to wrestling pace, where it's just like it's a wrestling match. So teach me, how do I weaponize cardio, or at least get better at it?
Dude, I think you just gotta push it all the time. So I don't know, 3 days a week, I do strength conditioning. And I'm always training. I'm always down to get some work in. So I feel like I'm never like resting really. Like I do 2-3 sessions a day and I'm just fucking always going. And I think that's the case. You just gotta, and then you get used to being tired. Cause I feel like that's the thing is everyone gets tired. Even the best athlete gets tired. But once you get familiar with it and you're able to go to that red zone over and over again, I think that's when it gets easier. And then you recover faster. Cause in that second round, dude, I was gassed. I felt it, dude, for sure. But just being able to recover, I think, is key.
So what's your background?
Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yeah, no, that's
100%.
True. So what's 100%. Your background? It's like wrestling, jiu-jitsu, karate?
Dude, I wish I did wrestling, but no, I started jiu-jitsu when I was 12, competed in that. And then I had my first cage fight when I was 16. So I've been just training up there with like John Pena and Mike Chiesa since I was a kid. And then, so yeah, I just pushed MMA since I was 16 and just been on the regional scene.
When you were 16, was that legal? Did you have to lie about your age to fight?
No, I had to get my mom to sign off on it. Luckily, she didn't really care that much, but I had to get a signature. I actually forged it, but she was okay with it. Had now, to get it written off. I know in some states it's off? Illegal. I think you have to be 18 in some states, but Washington, we're full of crazy motherfuckers.
How do your parents sign off on you cage fighting?
Well, approach it, and I'm like, Mama, you haven't done jiu-jitsu for a while. This is like the next step. This is like jiu-jitsu, but with a little bit more kickboxing. And she's like, okay. And then she comes, and she's like, what the fuck? I fought a 27-year-old in my first fight. And she's like screaming in the background. We're in a basketball court, and she's just like, what the fuck going on? And it doesn't help that I lost my first fight, but it is what it is. Gave me motivation. I hadn't lost since until I got to the UD and lost in that finale of The Ultimate Fighter.
That was a good fight. That was a fight also that you could have won.
For sure. The close fight. I mean, I had 9 minutes of control time, and I think we were like, I was off by like 10 strikes. So I don't know. It was a close fight, but good on Ricky. I'll get that back one day for sure.
Was your dad around?
So my dad actually passed away when I was 15. So like right before I started fighting, he was there for like some of my jiu-jitsu career, but you know, he had his own like demons with alcohol and stuff. But he was always super supportive, but he ended up passing away when I was like 15.
Does that help?
Was he the reason you got into fighting? Like, was he someone who like wanted you to get involved in jiu-jitsu? How did you get involved? Because at 12, I mean, that seems like a parent was getting you involved at that point, right? Or were you 12? Like, I want to do this.
Well, I was like, I didn't really like team sports, and I didn't really like school sports. I didn't really like get along with all the kids doing all that stuff, and so they wanted me to do something, and I always like would watch UFC with my dad and stuff like that. So he was like, do you want to try this? And I was like, hell yeah. So I guess it was him getting me into it. And he would take me to all practices. He'd be there, you know, in my corner, watching all my matches and stuff. And so I think definitely my dad was like the biggest part.
Was he drunk in your corner?
You know, I probably sometimes for sure. He's definitely drunk at my practices. That's for sure. I can tell.
That's what alcoholics do, Adam. That's what alcoholics do.
Wait, so you?
Hey, he was my ultimate. I almost liked it though. He was my ultimate hype man when he was, you know, a little boozed up. He was yelling and everything, getting me all amped up. I'm like, fuck yeah, Dad.
Why do I picture your dad like the guy from Dodgeball that like throws wrenches? That's like,
dude, imagine that guy except like jacked up. He was like 5'7", 220, just a bodybuilder, just thick as hell. So pretty similar though.
Oh wow! Now. Now I like your whole camp. So his camp, I used to call him like it's this guy Rick Little, who's like the most underappreciated coach in the history of the world. The guy is so smart. He's this little like Master Splinter looking guy. Looks like he never got into a fight in his life. He looks like a half Asian accountant, you know. But he knows, he's so smart when it comes to like gaming. And he trains Juliana Pena, which by the way they like dated for a while. And then she also got married. Married a guy. So her husband and him were both coaching her. And then at one point, she was divorced from him too. So her two exes were in her corner. You talk about like a fucked up, like, I love Juliana. But so then it was like, and then Michael Chiesa, who's also a psychopath, who almost got arrested for running into the cage when Juliana won. Like he got so drunk. He hopped in the cage like from the stands, and he had to go to jail that night. I think the UFC bailed him out of jail or something.
No, luckily they were taken to jail, and then Dana stopped it. He's like, he's okay, let him go.
And then this is his coach, by the way. So, and this is his team. And then they got these guys. I used to call them the Bongzo. It was what's his name? Cody McKenzie used to be part of your team, right?
Oh yeah, dude. The farther go back, the worse it gets. Cody McKenzie's the first guy. And then the first guy was Lyle Beerbohm. Mm-hmm. He was a maniac.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, that guy, did you ever train with Cody?
I have, yeah. I was like, I came in because I'm a lot younger than him, but I came in like right at the end of, after he was in the UFC. But dude, he still has it. He's got such a weird, funky style, that guillotine. He made his own guillotine called the McKenzie-tine, and he's
got it down.
He would win every fight by guillotine. He'd be getting the shipping out of him, but somehow landed.
Yeah, dude. What does he have? I think he has like 10 or 11 like guillotine wins in like MMA, and like five or six of them are in the UFC. Like,
so what's the secret to his guillotine? Is it just the way he positions his wrist against the throat?
Well, it's halfway because of how he's built. He's literally built like a Jack Sparrow, like a gangly drunken pirate. And so yeah. I feel like when you're like shooting on him, because he makes people shoot on him or end up in grappling situations, you don't feel it. It feels like, oh, this isn't tight, until it's too late. And then once you're like, oh shit, you're in it, there's no way out. So it's like you almost got to be extra careful. It's almost like some of these like crazy strikers like Izzy, like, don't feel in danger until it's too late.
So Jake Ellenberger told me one time that he was in Vegas and Cody hit him up and he's like, hey, you want to train? But he didn't. He's like, oh, come over. But Cody didn't want to join a gym. He's a professional MMA fighter, but didn't want to pay gym fees. So he's like, let's go. So he's like, let's go in my front yard. So he takes boxing gloves and they're in like a suburban area. And it's just him and the other guy beating each other up with boxing gloves in the front yard. And kids are like getting out of school and people are driving past them. He said it was so fucking awkward.
That's not even a surprise, honestly.
Yeah. And then Lyle Bierbaum was a guy that you couldn't submit. For some reason, he was impossible to choke out. He would be in everyone's – he would just always – right? I mean, I used to watch his fights. What was his secret?
I think, honestly, is he was in prison for a while. And he was a partier and just a lunatic, honestly. Like, he got out of prison, I think he was like 25. Picked up MMA, and then like 2 years later was like top five in the world. He never got to the UFC, but he was ranked number like two or one or something in the world. Beating all these guys that have trained their whole lives, and he was just like this crazy that got out of prison and just started whooping on people.
Yeah, I think it's he might wild. Be back in prison now, though, unfortunately. I'm not sure. But
I know he's still around Spokane, but I don't think he's in prison right now. I know probably good. Bounce back and forth, but
well, tell him if you see him, tell him I'm a fan. So
I think he has a kid with one of Juliana's sisters.
Yeah, Juliana told me that. Yeah. But I think we're like not allowed to talk about it. Because Juliana always says the craziest shit on the podcast, but then she'll hit me up and say, hey, could we take out the stuff about like the only time it's about Lyle we can't talk about, for some reason. I'm not really sure, maybe because it's family.
She never told me that, so I think we're good.
Oh yeah, you're fine, you're absolutely fine. All right, so the fight this weekend, there's actually some really, really good fights this weekend. Like I said,
yeah, my boys are fighting actually too.
All right, so who were your boys?
Terrence McKinney, he's from Spokane, Washington. Oh, yeah. I actually trained with him when I first got sick, and so he's one of I count him as one of the sick guys. He's fighting. I know he's fighting a good strike, but I feel like just like every Terrence fight, I feel like he's gonna go out there and fucking whoop him in the first round.
So and he's then, the guy, Don. He's the guy that was on the podcast. He was number one in the country in wrestling. He went out and partied. He did too much acid. He fell out of a window. He got tased four times by the police because he kept going forward. I think he was pronounced dead, I think twice. And now he's in the UFC. He's got a kid. And he was knocking everyone out in 6 seconds in the beginning. Like, just pulling crazy shit. Like, get taken down. Yeah. I'll knock you out with like an elbow or like a bop or something. And then people started catching up a little bit. What's he like training? How's he looking? Talk to me.
So I haven't trained with him a whole lot this camp. I trained with him grappling for that match he did in Abu Dhabi. But dude, after you saying that, I was just like thinking about how crazy everyone from Spokane is. I feel like we have the craziest, all the craziest story. Dude, no one from Spokane comes out alive. I feel like it's crazy. But he looks good. He's been doing a lot of boxing. I feel like it's going to be good for this striker. Like you said, he just goes out there and fucks people up. No matter what, who you are, he'll mess you up for the first 3 minutes of a fight, no matter what. You saw it even in the Drew Dober fight. He took that on, what, like 2 weeks' notice? So I think it's going to be just another one of those, and I feel like he's going to be able to put this guy away.
I hope so. I like Terrence a lot. Also, a fight where I like both guys. This guy, Vyacheslav Borishev. They call him Slava Claus, right? And he's fighting Chase Hooper. Now, both these guys came to my comedy show. Borishev's such a nice guy. I mean, he's one of those guys, Don, I don't know if you ever trained with these guys where You meet him, you think he's like an accountant or like he's just the nicest human being you've ever met. And then he's a fucking murderer. And after he wins these fights, he does that stupid Russian dance that I hate, where you go like this and you just kick your feet up. So he's fighting Chase Hooper, who's this kid who I wanted to call child support his first fight because he was getting this shit beaten out of him. His striking looked like he went to one of those like 24-hour women's classes and took one class. Like he, but then he comes back and he submits you. And he's got a lot better.
He does the rolling heel hook, right? That's his move, right?
He has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you ever talk, go on.
So Chase is from Washington, and so we're really close with him and his team. The other guy on the card that's one of my boys. He is like, his jiu-jitsu is top notch. He's savage, and now he's been working with Wonder Boy, so I feel like his striking is going to look a lot better. But this is definitely fight for sure.
It's gonna be a great fight. So Chase, he's from a small town in Washington. I did a show there where they're famous because a guy got fucked by a horse and died. Like that.
Mr. Hands? Is that where Mr. Hands is from?
Yes. That's exactly it. Like the whole there. That's everyone knows his town because of the guy who got fucked by the horse and died. I think that guy. Like I think it was a lot of horses. I think it was a cult. I think a lot of people got fucked by this horse. Like, I think it was some weird thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, actually, I don't know that story, so that's hilarious, though.
Just Google Mr. Hands, and then hopefully you won't be too scarred.
Hold on, Mr.
Yeah, I just won't click on any videos. I'll just read
Mr. Hands, and then there was a documentary about it, right?
Oh, God.
Washington, yeah. So he basically, it's a...
Wait, he did.
Yeah.
Was it voluntary, or did he get raped?
No, voluntary. Inham Claw horse sex case. This is it. It's Mr. Hand, the man who died.
His colon got punctured or something by the horse dick.
The strange, sad story is the man named Mr. Hands who died from having sex with a horse. Yes, and it was like right across from a school too. I think that's the school that like Chase went to. Like that, this became famous. This is where he's from, and it's a whole thing. There's a 30-second video of the guy getting fucked by a horse. That and it went viral, and that's where Chase Hooper's from.
Dude, by the way, the worst part about that video,
we got some cool people up here in the Pacific Northwest, right?
The worst part about the video is there are two guys helping him get fucked by the horse.
Really?
Yeah. Is that assisted murder then, or is that manslaughter? Or are they cool? Because it's weird. It's horse slaughter.
Those are some bad neighbors. Okay. Anyway.
Oh God.
So that's but yeah. Also on the card, Bruce Leroy versus Sean Woodson.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But this guy Sean Woodson is like six. He used to be 230 pounds. Now he's 135 or 145. He's like 6'3". And he looks like he lost. He looks like a fat guy that lost 100 pounds. But like he just has that like dangly body. It's the weirdest thing, you know. And he's fighting Bruce Leroy. I heard a crazy story about Bruce Leroy about Sean O'Malley. I don't know if it's true or not about how O'Malley. You ever hear that story when O'Malley came to the gym and like was pulling all the shit against Bruce Leroy and Leroy knocked him out with a head kick or I don't know if this is true or not. You know, if it did happen, who cares, right? Shit happens.
That's cool though. I mean, I would like to see a video. That'd be badass.
Right. Did you ever get knocked out by a head kick?
The horse or in the fight?
Definitely not the horse. I ain't about that.
John, you ever knock anyone out in sparring or kick anyone in sparring hard in the head?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
I'm sure this guy's not.
Yeah,
so
you don't
many
mean to, but sometimes.
I mean, now that the
you don't mean to, but sometimes it just happens.
But Dominic Cruz saying that you kicked him in the head during just boxing, is that true?
No, come on, man! I can't kick that high. I can't kick over somebody's waist.
But he also said you pop like 5 painkillers before sparring. Is this true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Unfortunately.
You got to do what you got to do.
That was set up. That'll slow you down. That slows you down big time.
So you know you're sparring, so you take 5 painkillers. Does that help you not feel anything? I mean, because it seemed like I would be kind of loopy, you know?
Flexes, no balance. It's just stupid. Just my back was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, is there all I can do just to stand up, you know? So
yeah.
You know, you make super decisions. When you're in pain, you make bad decisions, you know?
Right. Joaquin Buckley's on this card. He's the guy that did that crazy kick. Remember that guy who caught his kick? Impa caught his kick. And he did that crazy back kick that I've never seen before, where he knocked him out. Probably the greatest knockout I've ever seen. He went to kick with his left foot. The guy caught it, and he jumped and did like a Jean-Claude Van Damme. Fucking anyway, he's fighting Nursultan, I don't know, Ruzabayev. But Buckley, the only problem with this fight is the fight's in St. Louis, and that's where Buckley's from. So I just hope he doesn't get in the situation where he feels the need to like impress everyone. He tries too hard, or he gives everyone, you know, 500 tickets and he gets distracted. I hope that doesn't happen to him, because has that ever happened to you, Bam Bam?
No, I haven't really had like issues with it, like where it's like distracting me. But I mean, have you seen Buckley like before his last fight? I think before he went out there and fought, he was like hyping up at a concert. He was like on stage, like popping bottles and shit. So I don't know if that gets to this dude. You know, he might be doing some crazy shit before the fight again.
He's a really good dude. I remember he was at my show, and there was this weird couple where the girl was like so much hotter than the guy, and I was like, how did you get her? And then they're like, oh, we're swingers. And then the girl tried to fuck Joaquin during the show. The couple kept inviting them down, like, after your fight, will you come fuck my wife? The girl was not she wasn't that hot, and then Joaquin said they kept hitting him up on Instagram. But all right, Alonzo Menifield is on this card. Menifield's a guy, he went to like 19 different group homes. He was homeless. He couldn't read by the time, like, he was like 12 or 13, him and his brother. They got adopted by this nice Christian family. He ended up playing college football, almost made the pros. And now he's one of the best in the world, 15-3. It's a crazy story about him. Nice guy. Really, really nice guy. And the family wanted nothing afterwards. Even after they got fit. Not one of these things where the family's like, all right, now you're in the UFC, give me some money or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know if they even know he fights. They're like, oh, like, Alonzo's got a fight coming up. Like, it's not.
Wasn't there something with like the guy from The Blind Side?
Yeah, that's what, exactly.
Wasn't there like a lawsuit?
Yeah, yeah. I think they came back to collect. And yeah. Like, fuck that.
That's crazy. Especially because that family was rich already. It's like, what do you need from this kid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, Waldo Cortez Acosta. This dude's 10-1. I think he's from Dominican Republic. He was a minor league baseball player, a pitcher. And all his punches he throws. He throws like 98 miles an hour or 104 miles an hour. So all his punches come in like fastballs. And he's fighting a guy who this dude is undefeated Olympian, gold medalist from Cuba, I think in karate. And his fights are all 18 seconds, 9 seconds, 12 seconds. This other guy is like, he's like 6'11". So this is going to be a crazy fight. I'm curious who wins this fight. Remember,
this is a heavyweight one, right? With the guy with the longest wingspan.
Yeah.
That guy's crazy. And then the Waldo dude, he's good, but I think everyone lost a lot of love for him after he fought Orlovsky.
Yeah. Cause he was dancing and stuff, right?
Yeah. And he wasn't even like beating him up super bad or anything. And obviously Orlovsky's a legend. And then he's just like trying to style on him. It didn't take well.
No, but this fight's going to be interesting though. Because you got two athletes that aren't even MMA fighters. Like, one guy's karate guy, I guess you could say that's sort of MMA. And then a baseball player, but this is going to be a good fight. This should be like the co-main event. Cause I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like almost
someone's getting knocked out. That's what's going to happen.
I feel like the UFC gave up on that guy Waldo, and they're trying to feed him to this other guy. You know,
no, I agree. Like I said, I think like the fans didn't like him after that Arlovsky fight, and now they're giving him, this guy's like the scariest dude coming up right now. The right. big six, he has that, what does he have, like an 87 inch wingspan?
Yeah.
It's like inches longer than John Jones. It's crazy.
And then Tisha Torres, who's now Tisha Pennington, who's married to Raquel Pennington, who's a good sport, because I said after she won, she put the strap on, because they're lesbians. She's fighting Tabitha Ritchie. So that should be it. I'm excited for this fight. Tisha's awesome. Jared Gooden, he's the guy that has no neck. It takes him like 3 hours to turn around. He really, this black dude, he's awesome. He was, remember he came on the podcast recently? He was depressed after his last fight. He went into a depression when he got cut from the UFC. He moved back home. He was thinking of suicide. And then he won his last fight. Now he's fighting this guy, Kevin Giusetti. This whole card is great. And then Dan Hardy's wife, Veronica's fighting on it against JJ Aldrich. Anything else you want to say about this card, Bam Bam?
No, I'm looking forward to it, actually. Like I said, my boys are fighting in the prelims, and so I'm excited for that. And then actually the main card is looking pretty good, too, for a fight night. This is actually pretty good.
I think it's better than last week's, than 301.
I agree.
So, do you have a girlfriend? That girl you came with my show, right? Didn't you have a girl with you at the show?
Not at the show, no. But I do got a girl back home. A girl and a little French bulldog.
Nice. And how old are you now? 22, 23?
No, I'm actually 25 now. I turned 25 5 days ago.
25. Oh, nice. And how long you had the girlfriend for?
Yeah. So I've actually known her since I was like 16, but we started dating like 2.5 years ago. After I got successful, she finally dated me. I'm just joking. No, but yeah, so we've lived together for the last year. We got a cool thing going. She's got a lot of energy. She's half Filipino, half Spanish.
Oh, wow.
So she's got some spice to her. Yeah, she keeps it interesting for sure.
That's awesome.
I know she's awesome. She cooks me good food. She treats me well. I love her.
Now, are you able to?
I'm sorry. Well, where did you get your belt in jiu-jitsu? Are you a 10th planet guy, or what was your discipline?
No, actually I came from a John Jacques Machado. So okay. There's a guy that came up from California up in Washington, and he's from John Jacques Machado's gym. So
just because style, everyone at 10th planet has a French bulldog. It's like a weird cult of jiu-jitsu with the French bulldog.
It? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I should switch over. French bulldogs are tight though. He got the most energy ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now,
I might be biased too. I think he's the best.
Are you able to support yourself? Do you have to have a job?
No, luckily, I mean, before I got in the UFC, I lived at the fire station. So I was a resident firefighter. And so I was stacking cash. And then afterwards, I bought this house after my couple to turn into a duplex. So luckily, I don't got too much overhead. So I've just been training full time.
Now, could you help Don? Now, Don was a firefighter too, but he got kicked out.
Oh, really?
He got kicked out. For joining the UFC.
Really?
Bullshit.
Yeah, they
wouldn't. That's back in the day when they thought it was cockfighting. Now all the firefighters think it's dope.
Can you give him a resident? Can you give him some kind of a award or something, or make him back? Because he he wasn't allowed, right? Am I telling the truth?
Right. That was when McCain was pouring all that bullshit, you know, because, you know, his wife was part of the Budweiser Henley distributing, and so this was killing Budweiser. The UFC was killing boxing, and so he got involved and tried canceling the UFC. You know, just dirty politics. You know.
So they kicked him out of the fire department. Can you talk to somebody and get him back in, or at least give him like a plaque? Or saying he's allowed to go.
I'll get him a patch or something for sure. He already has the mustache, dude. You just walk into the fire station and they'll accept you.
You look like a t-shirt, right? Yeah, they'll just throw a t-shirt on me. Don't get to work. Yeah,
exactly. I'm not a firefighter anymore, so I don't know if I have the pull, but I'm sure they would accept you. They all love UFC now, dude. Everyone loves UFC.
Well, Stipe is a firefighter too, right? I mean, he's a current active firefighter, Stipe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to start a petition to get Don Fry back in the fire department. Not actually to be a fireman, but he also, you know, during what he does during his free time? Guess what he does during his free time? Number one, he goes around herding cattle, that like random cattle that gets away from Arizona. He does that. And he also goes on border patrol. Like, he to anyone that's trying to hop into the country, imagine you, like, you spent, like, 2 weeks, like, going and sneaking into the country, and then you see Don Fry as the first person, and you're like, oh, I guess I got to go back home, right? Like, that's...
Don, have you ever had someone be like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan? Nothing like that?
Dude, yeah. Hey, Adam, I got someone that wants to say hi.
Who's that? Splinter.
Oh, we were just watching UFC 9 with Fry. He's the leanest face I've ever seen. I can't believe he's just right there. We're just watching that. We're just watching you.
Don, was that the one you won?
That's awesome.
I was talking. Apparently, he's a fighter.
When you're fighting Armory Batetti or whatever.
Yeah, Batetti. Remember that? That guy was great. Yeah.
Either that or he's in his stare down mood.
What was it? What happened in the fight, Don?
I beat him. I damn near killed him. You know, it was a single fight card. It's the first time they tried doing the single fight. It cost them too much money, so they went back to the tournament. You know,
yeah.
It was a cool fight card. You know,
that card was cool. That stadium was packed. I didn't remember them being that packed back then.
Yeah. It was the Joe Louis Arena. Yeah, the old Joe Louis Arena, which is not there anymore.
Wasn't that guy like an 8th-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu or something? Or
who?
The guy that you fought?
Oh, yeah. He was 150-1. He had lost the one fight because he had beat the guy before, and they started drinking champagne before the match, celebrating before the match. And then he went out there and drunk and fucked up, you know. But he was legitimate. He was like a legitimate several time world champion. You know, he was actually more decorated than Hoist.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't they stop the fight because you were just on top of him punching him, right?
Yeah. Well, there's more to it than that. it's pretty violent fight.
So Don, this is Rick Little. Rick Little's the coach. So Rick Little's the coach of all these guys. Coaches Chiesa, Juliana, Bam Bam. He's been coaching forever, and he's like the best coach probably in the world, but no one knows about him. He like stays very low key, and he studies these guys and comes up with the perfect game plan to beat people. Like he's never given anyone bad advice, I think, ever in a fight. Am I right, Rick?
I like to pride myself on not losing fights, for sure. I mean, I let the guys win the fight, but I definitely won't be saying too much. I don't like talking too much and end up losing it for them. You know what I mean? You gotta get this plan implemented and let them fight.
What would you say is the one secret you have, Rick, that other coaches don't have? Like, what do you?
I didn't hear that.
What's your skill? What skill do you have, or what technique do you have that other coaches don't have? That makes you so effective. Like, what do you say? Do you think it's your ability to intuit what people do?
We can't hear you. Say it one more time.
He was saying what's one thing you guys do that other coaches don't do?
That's a good question. That sets you apart. This sounds pretty like a stab at everybody. I can tell you one thing we do. This boy's from Spokane. Where'd Chiesa go? Chiesa's from Spokane. We grow him home. And we stay at home. We're not a bunch of gym jumpers. All these other coaches are half recruiters. They take someone that's good, and then it's easy to be a good coach when somebody's already good. You know what I mean? The hardest part about this game is development. You know what I mean? Developing these skills that will last you a career. And that's what I think we do different, you know? We keep it together good. Keep it in-house.
Well, it seems like a lot of guys who leave you end up coming back.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, the leaving is usually not from anything gym-related. It's usually some, you know, love puppy type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not usually like, oh, I hate what's going on here, and, you know, I've got to go somewhere else. That's usually not ever been the problem.
What takes down fighters more, women or alcohol?
Say that again.
What takes down fighters more, women or drugs?
Oh, women. It's definitely women. Yeah.
Don Fry's like women.
And vice versa. I've had a lot of great girl fight, you know, woman fighters, you know, with Misha and Juliana Pena and Men have taken them out. Caraway almost ruined Misha's career. That guy's nuts. So, and he was a fighter himself. You'd figure that, you know, that would help, but it didn't.
How hard was it to get Juliana to not try to knock everyone out in sparring? Because I've watched her sparring sessions, and they're fights.
Yeah. I've only had, like, 4 knockouts in my gym ever, like, ever. It's been pretty good, and 2 of them have been her. I swear to goodness. And one of them was a guy. She high-kicked a guy to death. So yeah, that should give you the answer. If she was a guy and had even more power, she'd probably have about 15 of them.
Do you have any questions? We got to go soon. Do you have any questions for Don Fry?
That's a good question. I wish I knew that I was going to hop on this thing. I didn't even know Brady was talking to you. It's definitely it's not a question, but it's a statement. I like, you know, Don, honestly, there's, you know how they talk about this BMF stuff, and I think the epitome, this is what I think. It's always like how tough you are. And to me, this is a very mean thing to say in this sport, but tapping can be semi sign of quitting. Everybody always says, oh, you know, you're caught, you're tapped. I mean, it's all very relative. You know, when people quit on the stool, they're like, that's a quitter. But when someone taps, they're like, that's not a quitter. Don Fry, we used to argue to people, as a guy that would never tap. I was like, and that to me is the ultimate BMF. And that theory got put to test. I would argue with my friends on that. I go, I don't think Fry, if he ever gets caught, will ever tap. And he got put on inside heel hooks against Shamrock, which is the most tappable thing you could get caught in, honestly. And he didn't tap with shoes on, by the way. And that to me makes him the number one BMF of all time. If you fight a person who won't tap, that won't tap the mat, that's about as tough as it gets. So I don't think it's a question. I think Don Fry answered all our questions with his performances.
Don, how much did that hurt when he had the inside heel hook on you?
Still hurts. Still have bad days, man. Still have bad days. Yeah.
We all know, and you do too, Adam, we've all been caught an inside heel hook. There's nothing worse. I don't think there's a worse submission on the planet. Yeah. Honestly. So, you know, that's the most quick tap thing you could tap to. And he was getting cranked on that thing for a minute, and it just proved my theory, you know. To me, that's the ultimate BMF. If we did like a BMF tournament, to me, there's some great BMFs out there, like Gaethje and all those guys, but they have all tapped the mat. And to me, that kind of doesn't not make him a BMF, but it does make him the BMF king.
Now, Don, did you think about tapping? Did it go through your mind? Like, should I tap to this?
No, fuck no.
No way. See, I knew it.
Talk too much shit. I was like, well, you're in for it now, Fry, and see what you got.
Yeah. And then he came back and still beat the brakes off him with one leg. So that's the ultimate king of it. They should make a trophy for him, a late trophy type thing.
I 100% agree.
Well, I think he's the originator. You can stand in the pocket and trade, but who?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, Brady. You guys are the best. Thank you guys so much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
See you, Don.
See you. Later. You guys are the best. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.